Hey everyone, it's Danielle from the Danielle and Brandon Show. And as we have been promoting, we are doing our new guest series with special people who not only are near and dear to our hearts, but they usually are doing something incredible. They are doing amazing things, changing industries, have an insane story of where they got to where they are today. And I'm so excited about today's guest. And I'm going to get into that because today's guest is so very special to me because Dana, and I know you guys know her name because that's on the title, but Dana and I have known each other for over 10 years. And not only does Dana do my fabulous hair that everybody always compliments me on, but Dana and I have literally watched each other grow from very different times in our lives 10 plus years ago to the incredible women and business owners that we are today. And I just cannot wait to see not only where Dana goes with all of this, because I feel like I'm like her number one cheerleader. I'm always rooting for her. But I am so excited for everybody to hear her story today, inspire you all. And then for anybody who's in the beauty industry can also learn from everything Dana has learned along her way. Again, many failures, very many wins, and just created such a successful business. So if you didn't get the hint already, Dana is not only an amazing friend, a phenomenal mom, probably an even better wife. We can ask Brendan. She's an incredible hairstylist, a curly hair specialist. If you're not sure what that is, we'll get into that later. The owner of Flaunt Salon, which is a huge, gorgeous salon. Again, we'll get into that in a little bit. But Dana is totally changing the hair and beauty industry. She is challenging conventional industry norms, embracing innovation. I love you. Creating a more inclusive, sustainable future for the industry. So today we are going to share Dana's story from literally nothing, literally living in poverty line income, a very passionate hairstylist wanting to do all of this and getting to where she is now. We're going to share key factors in her success as the trailblazer in the industry, about her salon for all of our beauty industry listeners out there, along with her future plans. And of course, you're going to hear my love for Dana along the way, because again, we've not only been friends, like I feel like business partners half the time because we do share a lot. But basically, we're going to get into this because I'm just so excited. I'm literally buzzing and I think I'm just going to talk a lot, but I want Dana to share. So let's get to it. Welcome, Dana.
Oh my God. Like, wow, that is an intro. I mean, holy moly, I feel so good about myself right now.
You should. That's why you're here. That's why we wanted you on the show, for our listeners to know how great you are. I feel like I could have said more, but we are kind of on a time limit. So,
oh my goodness. Well, I mean, yeah, this is just such a huge honor, and I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, and you know, I'm so proud of you and everything that you do. And, you know, when you suggested or asked, you know, is it something I'd like to do to come on this show? I mean, it was an automatic hell yeah, because I just think you're so amazing in what you're doing to support other business owners, myself included. I can't even tell you guys how many times I've called it. Like, okay, help me out here. Okay, I'm like freaking out. What am I going to do? And you have been there the whole time. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, we can get into that further in the show of the things that we help each other with. But, and you guys know, all of our listeners, we talk a lot about having those groups of people or those friends that are close to you to be able to get you through, because entrepreneurship or business ownership can be a very lonely place, and you need people that are going to text you back on a Sunday to tell you it's going to be okay and tell you you're killing it, even though you want to shut your company down. Cause Dan and I have both been there. Almost in tears with each other over the last 10 plus years, in personal life and in business. So let's get to it. That leads me into my point of like saying, in the beginning, we have known each other for 10 plus years. That was such a very different time in our lives. And a lot of our listeners know my story from that time and kind of what led me into business ownership. And you and I met at that time in my life when it was awful. And again, it was a whole other chapter. I mean, I feel like it was actually like 10 chapters ago. Like, it wasn't like one chapter before. It was like 10 before.
I agree.
And same with you, right? So for us, I really want our listeners to hear that it's not just me that has that, or not just our listeners that have those moments of doubt or those challenges or those tough beginnings or humble beginnings in their lives. But you have that story too, and I want you to share that. So why don't you share with us that 10 plus years ago where you started and what led to your incredible successes today?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I guess like my start in the industry was when I was 17, I became an apprentice. So I got my license in 2006. So yeah, dating myself a little bit there. But yeah, so that's where kind of like my start in the industry began. At that point in my life, I met the father of my three beautiful sons.
And they are beautiful.
They're wonderful. They're wonderful boys. I have, they're teenagers now. So yeah, a bit of a difference there. I met someone, we got married really young, had a family. From there, we moved around and my career was really actually wonderful in some ways because there was some flexibility. I think it's why, you know, I really am as invested in this career as I am because I feel like every situation I was in, every town I moved, every, you know, new start that I had, there was, I could go and I could do hair and that was like part of my identity. So, I mean, we could have a heyday with a therapist on that one, but well, that's a different podcast. So yeah. And then, I mean, if we want to get really into like the deep part of that, things got really difficult in my marriage. We stayed married for some time, but we were battling, you know, my kid's dad had some addiction issues and there was some abuse in the home issues. And it was when I met Danielle, it was the darkest, most difficult time in my life. I was really in deep in beauty industry norms at the time, which are just you are on your feet all the time. You make almost nothing. Like you said, poverty line kind of an income. And then I found myself on my own with three little boys to feed and struggling to do that in an industry that I'd spent, you know, over a decade in at that time, still being barely able to make ends meet. And then I ended up following kind of Danielle and her journey and watching her grow. And I've talked to you about this, Danielle, that we've had conversations where, like, I remember doing your hair and you're having this conversation with me about the importance of branding. I mean, I was a chair renter, so like a business owner to some degree at that point. And I remember just thinking like, what are you talking about? And I remember you saying like how much you were spending on having someone do this branding with you. And I remember just thinking like that is a huge number. And I can't even like, what are you branding? What are you doing?
I must say that number 8 to 10 years ago was probably a couple $100s and it seemed like the end of the world.
It seemed like a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember thinking that, like, what is this girl talking about? And I remember thinking like, I should look into that because she obviously, I could see you going places and I could see you building. And I have always been very education minded and I've always been very motivated. And, you know, women that are highly motivated to the degree that I think you and I are, and we've discussed this as well. Like, I don't know, we're wired differently or something. Something's either broken or just
there's
wired.
Something wrong. Yeah.
And like, I remember thinking there must be something to this because I was watching you grow and evolve and do things that weren't, you know, it wasn't normal for our small town and women in our small town and business owners in our small town to think outside the box. Like that wasn't something being done. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was watching you closely. I wanted to see what you were up to.
Well, and I guess it helps. Like I was honestly, I think I was probably in your chair every 6 weeks getting my hair done. And for those listeners that don't know, I'm actually naturally blonde. Ask Dana the struggle of my hair over the last 10 plus years. But putting that aside, Dana's made some great points already just about when she was saying that I was talking to her about branding. I literally probably took like a webinar class or did some kind of seminar that weekend to learn about the importance of branding. And then I thought that I just knew it all, right? And so then I'm implementing all of that because I had learned it and at the time, I had no flippin' idea what I was doing either. So I was implementing all of these things and obviously having some kind of success with it. So then I come into my chair and at the time, like Dana said, she was renting from a small salon in the little town that we grew up in. And I must say, the small town we grew up in, I don't even like, then it was, it is a, like, it's a small town still, but then, like, when you guys think of like boonies and like, you know, very old country towns, that's where we grew up. And so to see any kind of success, especially women, young women in weird industries, was very, very unheard of. So yes. What Dana was doing at the time, renting a chair in a salon, that was normal. That was like, oh, you're working, you're making your 30 grand a year and you're supporting your kids. But Dana, I know at that time you were also, you were doing well in the industry with, even though the industry doesn't necessarily have a glass ceiling, it did kind of have a glass ceiling of expectation because not many people, unless you're in like LA or New York, are going to be these big salon owners, and especially a small town like Shelburne, Ontario. So at that time, you were doing A-OK business-wise as being just kind of a solopreneur at that point, if that's the right term to use. But what about your personal life then? What was happening then? Where were you at with your kids? Where were you with everything going on? Because that's a whole other thing as a woman, as a business owner, that you have to think about.
Well, there was a lot going on at that time. There was just even like the emotional part and the healing side and trying to figure out who I am outside of this, you know, marriage that I'd been in for a long, like since I was 18 years old, like, so yeah. Trying to figure out who I was, what I wanted, what does my life look like? Not as the person, it's like my biggest job was to, you know, keep my husband happy, keep my kids looked after. And then if I had time, I could do some hair. You know, and that was my role. So Now it was like, okay, now I'm the breadwinner. Now I'm like, okay, what do I actually want for my life? You know, having that opportunity to even think about that, I felt like was fairly new. You know, I didn't know what dating looked like as an adult. You know, like the first time I've been on a date, like I didn't even have a driver's license. So it was like, you know, like it just, what
I love it.
Look like. I didn't know. And so trying to figure out what I wanted and what even my career, like what, and the thing is like this industry, beauty industry, has a lot of really unhealthy habits. So I think, you know, we as an industry have created a lot of glass ceilings for ourselves, which is really unfortunate. And I mean, that's part of what we're doing, you know, here at Flaunt, just trying to eliminate some of those and create a space where more people can come in and have a career that's wonderful and amazing and all the things they want it to be. But I mean, definitely at that time, you know, doing anything outside of the industry standard, was just like, well, you know, what are you doing? And, you know, you'd get comments about it. You know, I've had conversations with another girl and she's, you know, like-minded in the things that she wants to, you know, change. And I remember her putting videos up at that time and people would make fun of her. You know, she was ahead of the social media game before it was, you know, what it is now. Mm-hmm. And she was already ahead of the game. And I remember people making comments about it and being like, you know, she's trying something. Like I remember thinking, oh, this girl's amazing because she's trying something. And I thought that was that first indication to me. It's like, if you do something outside of the box, people don't like it. You know, doing something differently and trying to change, people just don't like it. So you're going to get comments. You're going to get negative feedback. A lot of times it's a them problem, not a you problem. So you got to keep doing what you're doing. And not everything you do is going to work. Some things are going to fail. Some things are going to be, you know, not necessarily fail. It's going to be a learning experience. Right. And you're going to have to pivot. Just keep doing it because you have to find what works for you and you have to be willing to, you know, maybe look like an idiot or maybe something not work out because that's how you grow.
Right. Yeah. And you're so right. Like, thinking about that time, social media, I don't even think Instagram probably did videos. Like it was just the pictures, right? So like there's so many things that we've learned along the way. So I remember that you were in the small salon and you had this little passion behind you that you knew you didn't want to be on your feet 100 1,000 hours a week. You didn't want to be exhausted. You wanted to make more money for you and your boys and your family, your future family. And you were just kind of getting into your own home at that point. And so you had this little passion behind you and you knew you wanted to do something different. So I remember a pivotal moment, that we were sitting, you were doing my hair. So I was sitting, you were standing, obviously, and we were chatting and you just kind of looked at me and I just knew that you had something in that magical brain of yours. And you basically said you wanted to get out of this salon and have your own space. And that then you were petrified. You were so scared. You were like, here is comfortable, right? Like we talk about this as business owners all the time, being comfortable. Yeah. And you were comfortable, you were paying your chair rent, and you had your clients and you were busy, you were full, you were making your money and you were doing extremely well. I mean, you've only been the only one to ever touch my hair. And so I'm sure there are hundreds of other people that feel the same way. And so I just knew that you had had enough. And I didn't even have to get into it with you. I just knew that you wanted your own space, but you were scared. And we talked about that for kind of like, I think months to come, months and months and months. And then all of a sudden one day, Dana went into a new space. You know, it was a completely different salon. It wasn't her own space yet, but it was a new space. And that was a step for Dana. So tell me about the transition between the original small space that you were renting to the new space and why you wanted to make that change. Because I think it's so important for people to know that they're not locked in ever and they need to do what's right for them, because this was a you thing. You needed this. So tell us about that.
Okay. So first of all, from the outside looking in, there was nothing wrong with the situation that I was in. Like you said, like I was earning an income. I had quite a bit of independence. There was a lot in that that I think you could have just said this, you know, I'm successful. I'm mm-hmm. paying my bills. Like I think you easily, and lots of people, that would have been enough and that would have been fine. You know, there's lots of independent stylists out there. There's lots of chair renters. There's lots of commissions. Like there's so, this industry has so many different models of what success looks like. And it really does depend on what you want. You know, some people just want to go to work and not have to worry about the booking, not have to worry about the numbers. Like that's success to some people.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just that I have a need and it comes from like, I don't know, in my soul, and like, I need to grow and I need to learn. And if I'm not doing those things, I can't even, like, I need it. It's an addiction in some ways, mm-hmm. probably. Yeah. Anyway, that, like I said, that's the therapy podcast. I have been told before by somebody that I trusted, it was like, if you know, you never want to be the smartest one in the room. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you've gotten to the point, you're the smartest one in the room, you need a bigger room. You need a different room. So at that point, I felt like I wasn't getting the support and the mentorship that I felt like I needed. And there's no shade on the salon. It's a great salon. It's been running for a long time. It's successful. It's a great space. I just felt like, okay, there's nowhere for me to grow here. There's nowhere for me to talk about my ideas. There's nowhere for me to make a next step. And as soon as I'm like, I don't have anywhere to go, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. So that was that need to like, okay, I need to make a change. It was a completely different environment. The biggest thing that I think we were having that conversation about was like, I'm moving to a different town. And that was the scary part, because when you're based on butts in your chair, because when you're an independent stylist, if there's not a client in your chair, you're not making money. Mm-hmm. So it was, what if, you know, the butts don't follow me? And nobody's in my chair. And like, that was scary to me. And I didn't have the understanding of my marketing funnel, you know, my branding, my voice, like what do I give to my clients? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what any of those things were. So I didn't have the, I guess just like that, like now I feel like I could move somewhere and I would have the skills and the understanding, like, okay, this is how I'm going to market myself and brand myself and attract clients in this new area. I have a little bit more understanding of the business end. Mm-hmm. I also had no idea what my numbers were. I had no idea what I was making. I had no idea you know, what it cost me to run the business. So like, just, I had no idea what I was doing. Like the more,
and that's normal in the industry.
Yes.
Right.
100%. Is it like that in a lot of businesses, or is that like just an us thing?
Well, I know like in the cleaning industry, for example, again, it's something that's very common that independent cleaners that are cleaning on their own, they're maybe charging, say, $20 per hour. They're going and cleaning. They're not kind of allocating the correct amount of time. And then they have to buy cleaning products. And then there's gas in their car. And so at the end of the day, do they know their numbers? Are they even covering what it costs them? And you had shared that same thought with me about the beauty industry, and you know that there was no understanding, and you were just kind of throwing money at your supplies and hoping to have a little bit of extra money to like pay your bills at the end of the day.
I couldn't even tell you at that time like what I was spending on product, what it was costing. I knew what my chair rent was, and it was basically, okay, I just have to make enough to pay my chair rent. Yeah, like just such a lack of understanding of where the numbers come from. Right. And I mean, then you get into your pricing, and it was like, I was basing my pricing on, okay, well, you know, Sally down the street, she's been doing hair about the same amount of time as me, and that's what her prices are. So maybe I'll kind of pick something around there and knock a couple dollars off so I'm competitive. You know, like, what a ridiculous way to base your, like to me now. And the thing is, like, I still see that a lot in hairdresser forums and stuff like that. Like, I don't know what I should be charging for this. And it's like, okay, well, there's a supply and demand situation here. Like, you know, what does it cost you to operate that day? And no idea. People just have no idea. So really from an entrepreneur standard, it's getting in touch with what are your actual numbers? What does it cost you? You know, if you're not working that day, what does it cost you just to have that space? Right. You know, like I know what it costs, like what are our building costs to run down to like 15 minutes. Like I know what this building costs me every 15 minutes.
I love
whether someone's working or not.
That's incredible. And that's what business owners need to do. They need to know. I mean, I know Kevin O'Leary, like famous Shark Tank guy, he literally will count things down to the cents. And like you'd think for a big billionaire like that guy, he wouldn't care about a cent or two. He does. And that's what makes him the way and as successful as he is now. So listening to you just right there when you were telling us about you needed that space, you needed to express your thoughts, your emotions in the business, your ideas. I feel like that's when the new Dana was kind of just emerging, right? Like what you just said there, that is the definition of business ownership and entrepreneurship. Like you have so many freaking ideas in that mind of yours and you just need to go, right? And so that's like when we start seeing it. And I think I recognized that before, but that was definitely the time where you're like, okay, I'm going to move to a new salon, new town. I'm going to learn about the branding, the numbers. I'm going to do better for myself. And also, guys, keep in mind, at this point, Dana had like done a wedding, like she'd gotten married to her now incredible hubby, Brendan, who's absolutely amazing. And her kids are growing up and she's, you know, being the best boss, the best wife and everything in between. And she's now emerging her little business self. And so Dana moves to this new salon and she kills it. And I still remember the conversation we were having about pricing. And you said to me, I still remember this. This was like pre-COVID. So this was like probably 5 years ago now, I'd say. And you said to me that you were petrified to increase your pricing because, again, you have that stable client base. What if they don't come? And what did I say to you?
Oh my gosh. Well, you said a lot of things to me, but I mean, I think it was that's when we kind of had this conversation about the value that you give, the perceived value of your clients, and just like, you know, the right people that are your people, they're not going anywhere. So, you know, you don't have to be, if you know what you've built and you see the value in what you've built and the demand is there, you don't have to be afraid to put your prices up because the new people coming in are going to be ready to spend those prices with you. Right. You know, if you've done the work, the money's not the issue. Like people will spend anything, you know, if they see value in what they're spending money on. So yeah. It's how can you add value to what you are putting out there, to what you're giving your clients or your, you know, whatever industry you're in, but
right.
It's our guests, you know, you have always had lots to say to me, Danielle.
But it goes both ways. I mean, we've both bounced so much off of each other. When I need a moment and I'm sitting in your chair and I'm actually just bitching about everything, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go fix it and I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn. And then we both do the same thing. And, you know, so it's just been a great friendship and kind of almost like a little mini two-person mastermind our whole 10 years. And so Dana is now at this point where she's renting a chair in a brand new space that she loves, and she's growing. And she's developing this incredible brand that she has, and she's learning how to be a curly hair specialist. And so Dana is one that I do look up to when it comes to education. She never, ever, ever stops learning. She is constantly learning, even in the position she's in now with this huge, stunning salon with incredible hairstylists and aesthetics, you know, in her space. And she's just absolutely killing it in the industry. She's still learning every single day. And she's always, always doing courses and learning. So she was learning this curly hair specialty thing. And this was now becoming Dana's brand. She was blossoming into this beautiful little flower, and she was absolutely killing it there. And so take us into that next step of that space. And then the world changed, and so did Dana's life. So let's go into that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So backstory a little bit, like you said, like the time where I feel like, you know, we met, I feel like we had a lot of work to do on our self-worth,
yeah,
our confidence, who we were as women, who we were as partners, what being a partner to someone meant. Mm-hmm. There was a lot packed in that. And I do feel like we kind of emerged out of that together, coming yeah. from relationships where maybe we weren't appreciated and maybe we didn't really see our value. Like meeting my husband now, that was a big part of what I feel kind of brought me to the place I am today, because having, and I'm not saying that you can't be successful without a partner. I'm not saying as a woman, you can't be successful without a man, because mm-hmm. I don't agree with that at all. But, you know, Brendan was my safe place, and he was the person that I could, you know, say, hey, I've got this crazy idea. And instead of it being shut down, he was like, well, let's talk about that. I remember just the first time ever kind of presenting him with ideas of, you know, because I had all these ideas in my mm-hmm. mind and it just wanted to like blow up. And he would just so calmly be like, okay, well, let's talk about that. And like, I was expecting, I feel like that this instantaneous, like, that's not going to work. We're not doing that. You know, that's too much money, or that's great. Like, you know, it's working. Don't mess it up. It's working.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not enough for me, but when you don't have anybody in your corner, that's what I feel like. Find these rooms, find these group of business owners, find, like-minded professionals, like find yourself a gang that's going to have your back.
Tribe.
Find your tribe.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you were kind of that person to me, because I would kind of come to you with these wild ideas, and I'd almost kind of like, you were my place where I could kind of dip a toe in and, you know, like, is this crazy? Is this good? Like, where are we at?
I don't know if I'm the best person, Dana, because I think every single time you've come to me, I'm like, just go. Like, what's the problem? Just do it.
Just do it. But I mean, it's worked out. So maybe, yeah, you just need to be the one like, well, I mean, and the thing is, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Like,
right.
You know, it doesn't work the way you planned. Well, you learn something and then you know more for next time.
Yeah.
You know, it's having the courage to get back up and keep going, because not every idea you throw out there is going to work.
Right.
It won't. If you're in business long enough and you're going to keep growing, you're going to have problems. You're going to have failures. And I say failures, you know, learning experiences, because really you're never really failing. Unless you stop trying.
Love that. If anybody's listening, take that note down. That was a very important note, Dana. It's so true. So again, you're now, and you're so right. I remember you telling me Brendan was such an important part of that growth for you. And Dana did very much emphasize the fact that as a woman, you don't need a supportive partner. And there is that saying that goes around, if you're going to have a partner, it's either a supportive one or not a partner at all. And that is so true. We can both vouch for that. Again, my partner now, Sergo, absolutely incredible man. I never, ever, ever in a million years thought, like, I may get emotional right now. I've never actually got emotional on the podcast before, but it may be a first. I have never ever thought in a million years that I would ever have a man, one, on my level, such as Sergo, two, as supportive. And again, that calm. I'm crazy just like you. I'm laying there and I'm like, oh, what are we going to do next? Like, let's do this, right? And Sergo's like, okay, let's talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. And so I never thought I would have that. And having that is just such a nice, like you said, safe space to keep you calm, but also support what you're doing. And, you know, he was a huge part of your life, in that growth, being that support when you're going crazy and he's going, okay, Dana, let's talk about that. Let's do that. And you're like, oh my God. Okay. We're going. And, you know, so that was huge. So after that, now you are excited. Your brand is built. You are doing your thing. You have the curly hair going on. And then you want a little bit more, not wealth, not money, but you just want to do more. You wanted to change the footsteps of this industry, just like I've been on a mission to do in the cleaning industry, you've done in the hair industry. So at this point, we get into the space that the world is slowly changing. Well, it happened quickly, but at this point, you were kind of changing yourself and then COVID happened. And so then you buy Flaunt Salon. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So yes, I started kind of, okay, I want to do more, started working at this new space. And then literally like the next month, COVID hits. So I'm all like geared up. And right before that, that was when I did my first trip. So I went to New York, because you couldn't get curl training here at that time, or not that mm-hmm. I was aware of. So that was kind of like my first, and I remember having that conversation with you too, like, oh, should I go, you know, spend that kind of money and do this kind of trip to learn this? And in our industry, it's always just been, you know, white people do white hair, black people do black hair, curly hair is not a thing, you know, you're expected to straighten it. Like, that's a huge conversation. So dive too much into that, but I didn't like that I didn't know how to do hair types that weren't my own necessarily. Like, I didn't like that, you know, that glass ceiling existed.
You were limited.
Yeah. And I don't like that feeling. If I don't know how to do something, it bothers me. Like, I want to know how to do it. And I never expected at that time to, you know, be a specialist or do anything really with that besides just, I want to be confident that someone with curly hair sits in my chair, that I at least have enough understanding that I could do that job and learn more about it. That was my goal, because I thought that the right thing to do is that I can honor any hair type that sits in my chair. So that was my goal. So that's how that started. And then people started to become aware that I did that. And so my own brand and my own services were blowing up.
Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't get in, guys. Like, I was going in at like 8 o'clock at night to get my hair done.
Yeah. And that was like 12-hour days. Like, yeah. I could have just worked all day, every day. You know, like, people were, and it was just because awareness of who I was and what I was doing and that I was doing something different. Mm-hmm. I do feel like that kind of like blew up my own business just as an independent stylist, that kind of grew. So then we're partway through COVID. You know, I'm at home, homeschooling kids and having been able to work. And then we'd open and the floodgates would open and you'd be trying to fit as many people in as possible. And oh my gosh. Well, I mean, everybody knows the craziness that went on during the pandemic. So we're right in the middle of COVID, and the owner of the salon that I'm at, she is talking about wanting to take a step back from ownership. She'd had some health problems and, you know, was thinking that, you know, maybe this is the time that she wants to sell the salon. Now, keeping in mind, salons have been closed, so no income's coming in. The salon was only breaking even, and just you know, barely covering its costs, not making a profit. So I'm buying a salon that is not turning a profit. You know, you can't buy clients, you can't buy staff. So there's really no guarantees here. We're just, you know, I don't even really know, like, what are we buying? I don't know. But all of a sudden my wheels are kind of turning and I'm like, is this a good opportunity? So I then say to my husband, you know, we crawl into bed the one night. He's like ready to go to sleep. He's worked all day. Like, we've been dealing with kids and, oh my gosh, just COVID was just so hard on everyone's everything. And I'm like, so what do you want to, oh my God. Like, it was kind of like, I had an opportunity to buy a closed, non-profitable salon.
So can I?
So like, what do you think?
God, I love it.
This bless his heart, this poor man, you know, I just think like, so, you know, a week ago, I probably was like, let's move to Alaska and live off the land. Like, it was like, there's always something going on in my head. And
right,
like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And, you know, bless his heart, he's just like, okay. Like, I believe his response was kind of, we should talk about that. And he was like, you know, do you think you can do it? And I was like, I don't know. I think I maybe. And he's like, well, then we should look into it. And, you know, I think I was just so used to it, like being a, like, that's crazy. And really, if someone said that to me, like, hey, let's, in the middle of a pandemic and you're not even allowed to be open, let's buy this closed salon. Like, it seemed crazy even in my own mind. Yeah. I think it was just this, you know, what could we do with this opportunity? You know, is it even an opportunity? You know, could we even afford it? Right.
And what did you buy it for, Dana? If you don't mind sharing with our listeners, what was the price tag on this so-called opportunity?
$30,000.
Okay, so $30,000.
And in the grand scheme of business, this is nothing, which I realize now. But at that moment, we are working off one income because, you know, I'm not working and I don't have, like, you know, I'm an independent stylist at that point. So like, I've got no money saved. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, well, I'm not working. Mm-hmm. I don't have this nest egg to, like, you know, buy into a, we actually ended up, we remortgaged and borrowed against our home to buy the business because I didn't have the cash.
Right.
And it was like, it was a big leap because like, you're not guaranteed that the staff will stay with you. You're not guaranteed that clients will stay with you. You're just hoping for the best. And I wasn't at a place where I even knew how to make a marketing plan or a business plan. It was just like, let's just jump in and see how it goes. That's basically what happened there.
Wow. So $30,000 again for a salon, middle of COVID, where the beauty industry took one of the biggest hits, for a salon that was being ran the normal way in the beauty industry, with everybody was just renting a chair. Everybody was on their own. It was just kind of a space. And the former owner just kind of had this salon where she owned the name, but nothing else. And so you were buying this because you could see what it could be, hopefully. I mean, you did have doubt in your mind, but you had this vision of what you have now. But you had it then of what you wanted to do. I mean, you were already implementing all of those incredible things like the curly hair specialist. You wanted to give people in the beauty industry a different way of life, a healthier, non-toxic workplace, more stability, more structure. You wanted to be environmentally friendly. Like, there's all of these things that you were wanting that you felt you could implement and create with this $30,000 non-operational salon, and you fucking did it. you did it. So let's, I mean, you've done it. You're there. You buy the salon, everything happens. And so take us through that. You had all of these things going through your mind that you wanted to change with the industry. And like, let's start with kind of how you started with that, because this is now your next chapter. This is Dana. This is salon owner, like, never done anything so effing crazy in my life, Dana. And like, just share with us your thoughts, how you went through that, what you did, your first steps, and just go from there.
I think some of the reason that I had bounced around and moved in salons is because I was a motivated entrepreneur. And I feel like a big part of our industry is finding a culture. I think, you know, just you want to work in a place that you fit culturally and that you feel you can be heard, be valued. You know, those components of being an employee are very important for the satisfaction of your life as a whole. And you want to provide that. You know, I think because I couldn't find a culture that I fit in, I felt like maybe, okay, is there something wrong with me? And then I felt like I was starting to have more of these conversations with other, you know, women in business, you know, just business owners. And I think it was, okay, there's maybe not something wrong with me. Maybe there's something wrong with the way that things have always been done. And it's time to make changes to that. And then it was like, well, how can I make these changes? And then realizing that other people want these changes too. So it was like, okay, how can I create a culture that would have been, you know, what I was looking for as a motivated stylist? So how can I be appealing to other stylists that are like-minded? So that's how it kind of turned into, you know, my first employee, Ange, who I absolutely adore. I love her to pieces. She's
amazing. Best in the world.
She really is. And yeah. I think as a business owner, my goal was to, how can I find these employees? How can I help them to find what motivates them and what drives them? And instead of like, well, you have to be a generalist as a stylist, you have to just be able to do everything. You know, how can I help them to niche down, find services that they love to do, have hours that work for their work-life balance? How can I help them create the environment that I wish that I had?
Right.
So that was, you know, intro to the first employee. Then I had a second employee, and then it just seemed like all of a sudden, you know, coming out of COVID, we were then allowed to open. There was lots of bumps along the road, you know, there was, you know, old staff not vibing with the culture that we were creating and the exit of that. And then, you know, clients that didn't fit with the new culture we were creating and them, you know, it was almost like a cleaning of house that happened where it was like, we're just going to start over. And it's like, I had the name, I had chairs, and it was like everything else had to be revamped. And then trying to figure out what does this look like for me? What do I want this to be? Mm-hmm. So just doing a lot of honestly, just dreaming. What do I want out of this? And what do I want the staff to come in and feel? And I felt like if I can create a team that feels great about being here and loves being here and wants to create, you know, the people will come, the clients will come because we have this rock star, solid team that understand, I know why I'm here. I know what my job is. I know, you know, I'm here to do what I love. Like, so that was my goal. How can I create a space, that resonates with other stylists? And that would bring the traffic in. Mm-hmm. So then it just kind of snowballed. I had other like-minded stylists come in that wanted to understand curls, that wanted a culture that they could be themselves in, that they could feel valued in, that they would make more than $30,000 a year if they were lucky. Right. And those are all things that, you know, weren't even being done really in our industry. They were just starting to kind of happen, snowball. So that happened. And then it just like all of a sudden we were like packed like sardines into my little salon. And it was like, okay, we either need to completely scale back or we need to massively grow.
So let's unpack that. Cause this is like, this is my favorite part of your journey. And this is why I'm so excited to see where you're going, because I just cannot believe how far you've come. Even in the little, like just before COVID, when you first bought the salon and how far you've come to this point, let alone over the time I've known you. So let's unpack now where you're at. Like you said, you were packed into your small salon, your small space, stunning space, by the way, everyone. It was just very small for the incredible growth Dana had done so quickly. And all by creating a mission, vision, and focus and aligning not only her team, but also her clients with that. And that is such a powerful thing. Like you guys literally had everybody in there was 100% on board with your culture, with your team, everybody in there. And it was absolutely amazing. And it was just such a good feeling being in there. I love being in there. So at that point, I remember so this was really only recent. Like this was the spring because I was heading to Toronto, to do the international home show with some of my team with the cleaning company we have. And Dana called me and she basically just said that. She goes, I need a bigger space. And this space came up on the market and I'm going to go look at it. It's like $500,000. I'm going to go look at it, but I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. I'm just going to look at it. And I said, okay, do it. And so one of Dana's biggest reservations was, well, it's such a big space. What if I don't have the staff and the clients to make the money to pay for the space? And just like I always tell Dana, like, you've already done it. You can totally do it again. And I think at that point, I mean, my brain was spinning for you. I'm like, well, you've already done it once. You've proven you've done it. You've reinvented the wheel. You've remodeled your business when it came to Flaunt and what you already did. You literally just have to duplicate that over and over and over again. Like you already have Ange, who was a perfect manager role for what you were trying to do. And so we kind of hashed all of this out on the phone. And by the end of the call, Dana said, okay, I'm going to do it. So about 2 weeks later, next thing you knew, it was like, we're going to put an offer on this place. And then the rest happened. So let's go with that, Dana. You share what happened next.
Oh gosh. Well, when I had talked to you, what we had planned was to actually open a second location and like basically duplicate what we were doing, but in another town, like just south of us. So Caledon, for anyone that's familiar with the area. So we would have had an Orangeville location and a Caledon location. And it would have been, you know, this suggestion that kind of Danielle gave to me was basically have the same model, same goals, like exactly what we'd created in our first space, recreate it in our second space. So that's what we were going ahead to do. And so we had put an offer in, like we were ready to roll. I had set up the contractors, you know, electrical, all of that stuff. We like the ball was rolling. So, you know, in the final hour of all that happening, it all just goes to shit. And
as they always do,
as things do in business, I've learned. And like nothing is like, you know, there's curveballs constantly. Mm-hmm. So that didn't work out. And I end up flying out to Florida as all this is hitting the fan. And then within hours of that, a new location pops up. My real estate agent sends it to me. I send my husband to go look through it. So I'm in Florida now. He's showing me the property over Zoom. You know, and because we had this short window of time, I hadn't canceled all the contractors and all of that yet. And we were still moving forward. And so we basically just did the exact same plan that we already had, except we were doing it at a different location than we had previously planned. So then the model had to change because now this is in the same community, literally down the street.
Yeah.
On the other side of the road from the existing location. So having two separate businesses, you know, with the same model, that didn't make sense.
On the same street. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, well, we have to change the plan here. So then the plan went from two kind of identical business models to, okay, we're going to make a new business model and we were going to expand services outside of doing hair. So it was, now we're going to have, I still have the initial building and a different service provider is working out of that location. And then this, our existing new location, so down the street, we were like, how can we bring a bunch of service providers into one building? And instead of all of us paying separately for our brick and mortar building, our insurance, our overhead, you know, and then everybody is making less money because everybody's pouring and investing into their physical location. So how can I create a space where all these like-minded, you know, kind of visionary, estheticians and beauty pros can come together and work under one roof and have a like-minded culture, like-minded goals. And so everybody is going to benefit because now we can support each other. Mm-hmm. We can encourage one another. We can, you know, clients can come in and seek different service providers all under one roof. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my new vision. How can I create a space where all these beauty pros can come together and feel, you know, heard, seen, supported? They can grow. They can still have their own brand and identity, but be under this kind of umbrella that is Flaunt, that has established
such an incredible reputation.
Yeah. A place in our community. So then it was like, okay, now I've started talking to these different people. And so now we've moved the hair portion over to the new building. And this was all from like, from getting the key to opening day was 6 weeks.
That's and it was bare bones.
There was nothing in here. It was an old yoga studio. So we had nothing, like no plumbing, no electrical, like all of that was non-existent. So 6 weeks to opening.
Wow.
Because of the numbers, because I needed to like, okay, for this to work and for me not to go broke, I need to open by this date.
Yeah.
We also had service providers waiting to open. So
yeah.
I hired an amazing esthetician, Jess. So she's managing the upstairs location, the upstairs of our location. And then it just turned into just a bunch of amazing people that just want to grow and build and learn, except we all get to do it together and hype each other up and keep growing. And that's where we're at today. Right now I have about 16 employees, and that's coming from 2 years ago. Very scared independent stylist buying an 800 square foot building. Mm-hmm. And just like, well, I hope it goes okay. To what we have today. And that's, you know, I want to say a lot of is doing the work by finding people that know more than you do and getting them to help you learn. Cause you know, you're just jumping in and hoping for the best. It, you know, to some degree, you do have to just jump in.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to put in the hours. Like you have to be willing to stay up till midnight and just watch podcasts, you know, or, you know, listen to the Danielle and Brandon show and, you know, put the work in. Like, I need to understand my numbers. I need to understand what, you know who you are, know what you're trying to create. And once you have that foundation, then jump in.
Wow, Dana, honestly, every time, like, I mean, obviously I've known you for so long, but this whole story, it's incredible. Like you said, all of that that you did from the time I met you to 2 years ago, you go in on this, like you said, this very timid, okay, well, you know, I'm going to take the next step and like, I want more, but like, you know, I'm going to buy this $30,000, 800 square foot salon and hope for the best. And like literally in 2 years, you went from that with, like you said, nothing happening to an incredible, powerful team of like-minded people all killing it in the beauty industry because of your guidance, because of what you've created for a salon space. And you truly are the definition of like community over competition. I mean, look at how many incredible salon, stylists you have in the salon. Then you also have nail techs, you have nurse injectors, you have eyelash techs. And like all of that is such an incredible thing. And they're all benefiting from the Flaunt reputation. And one of my favorite sayings in the business world, I guess, is the best success or the most success is when you are helping other people be successful. And that is what you have truly done for everybody in your space because of you. So you should be very proud of that. And I just, again, it gives me shivers thinking like 2 years ago, you were literally calling me like, I think I'm going to buy this salon, but it doesn't make a profit, so don't kill me. Like that was literally like, okay. And I mean,
don't make sense. How do you feel?
Yeah, like okay, fine. Like it's Dana; she can do it, no problem. So it's just crazy. And I mean, obviously, that was a huge risk, but such an incredible reward. I mean, you've absolutely knocked it out of the park, and you're changing industry ways. So amazing. So out of that whole entire story, because that truly is an incredible story, I can't wait for our listeners to hear it. What would you say are your top three key factors for the success that you have gotten this far?
Well, I mean, we have a lots to learn and a long way to go. So I don't want to, you know, make anyone think that I for a second have it figured out, because
we, none of us do, Dana. None of us do.
Well, and, okay. So there's my first piece of advice. You're never going to know it all. You're never going to have everything figured out. So please just be humble enough to continue to learn. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to be the true success, is if you have the humility to know that really you know nothing, keep learning, keep listening to what other people, even if you can take just the tiniest little tidbit away from a conversation or mm-hmm. a mastermind or a podcast, you know, you're going to be better for it. So just keep being willing to grow and learn. I think being very clear about who you are and what you offer, you know, to be successful in business, it's like, okay, the clientele or the customer, there's a pain point. They have a need. They need something. What can you do to help them fill that, or, you know, stop that hurt? You know, it's what can I do? And then just like double down on that. Like,
yeah,
I know what I provide to my clients, and then I've doubled down on that messaging and branding. And if this, then this, you have this, I help with this. Get so clear on what you offer, because mm-hmm. the more confident you are about what you can provide for those consumers, the more successful you are going to be. And the more you stand behind, like, this is what I do and this is how I do it. You've already done, like, that's the biggest part. That's the hardest part.
I love that. Great, great advice. I love that. Okay, one more key factor, Dana. Oh,
okay. You know, be willing to take risks and be open to failing, because it will happen. You're going to do things wrong. And that's how you grow and learn. You know, seek advice from people. Like, you know, the people, like, you know, Danielle's always a million steps ahead of me. So, you know, it's my thing is like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm in over my head. So I'm going to make that phone call to Danielle. I'm going to hop onto that mastermind group. Like, just find people that you can get a support group with, because mm-hmm. you will need it. It will happen. You will have questions. You know, you don't know it all. So just find your people.
Yeah. I love that. That it's so true. I mean, look at us. Like, we have supported each other from day one. Obviously, I'm so proud to have you on the show, because I want to showcase you and your success and your journey to not only other beauty industry experts, but also just other business owners and entrepreneurs in general who are maybe going through their own challenges, not only in their personal life, or maybe they're second guessing a business thought, or who knows what, but like, your story is totally inspirational when it comes to that, and motivational, and it gives people that hope, right? So with that, I wanted to showcase a little bit, and I mean, you can talk as much as you want, because I'm just loving this conversation, but I wanted to showcase a little bit about your salon, like, not you as a business owner, about what the salon has to offer to its guests and to its team, because I truly do believe that if people do not listen to this and want to come and join your salon, if they're in the Orangeville, Brampton, Toronto area, or other people who are in the industry can come to you for advice and say, wow, holy shit, look at what you've done. Help me do the same. And I really want people to connect with Dana in that regard. So share with us what you offer your guests, what you can offer your team, and why you're so different, why you're absolutely fucking killing it.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for pumping me up.
Okay.
I think it's that desire to, you know, I can't just sit here and do things the way that they've always been done, especially when our industry, and many industries, like, you can see so clearly the flaws, that are in them. And I couldn't just sit on that. I can't just, okay, well, I'm going to open a salon and I'm going to do it the same way that everybody else has always done it. Because I think that's failing the people that work under you. So As a business owner, you have to remember too that your staff, they come to work. It's not their baby, you know, the way it is. The business is your baby. So they come to work to provide them the financial needs that they have to go and live the life that they want. So I'm trying to create a space where my staff can come in and love what they do, be appreciated, be encouraged, be supportive, be themselves, and have the freedom to choose their hours, choose their pay structure, you know, work in an environment where they are loved and appreciated, and then they can go home and live the life that they want to live. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal as a, you know, a boss, I guess, or a, you know, as a leader. I'd rather that title than a boss. I
don't, yeah, likewise.
You know, as the leader of my team, I want them to love their work day and enjoy coming to work and feel like they had just an awesome day at work. And then they can go home and live the life that they want to live and have mm-hmm. the things and, you know, get the, you know, they want a new car, they want a vacation, they want the time off to spend with their family. They want to be home every night to cook dinner. I want them to have those things. Whatever mm-hmm. your goals and priorities are, I'm going to help you get there. So that's my job as a leader, is to help you have the life that you want when you leave my building.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I think having that mindset where it's like, what can I offer you? That's where people are going to want to come in and work with you and be part of what you have. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, where I've come from is, you know, trying to look at it from a different perspective is instead of what can you do for my business, what can my business do for you? Because when your staff are happy, the money comes, the clients come, everything else will come mm-hmm. if your staff love. So I think one of the big things that we hear a lot is, oh, I love the vibe in the salon. Well, the vibe is what it is because we all love working together. We foster an environment where, you know, you're not going to gossip. You're not going to cut each other down. You know, we're here to support one another. And if that's not happening, you need to leave. Mm-hmm. It's not tolerated here. So, and I think a lot of salons, like it can be a very toxic environment. Mm-hmm. A lot of people leave the industry because of it being a toxic environment. So, I mean, if you own a business and it's, you know, every, you know, it's toxic environment, you need to like revamp yeah. because you're nobody that is good is going to come work for you. If they, right. because you'd be guaranteed that people are talking about what the environment is. Your staff are talking. So yeah. people already know what it's like to work there. And if they're not saying it's amazing, you're not going to get good staff. Yeah. So, you know, give your staff something great to talk about when they leave your place of business.
I love that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you need that.
Yeah. It's like, so true.
When I was looking for a place to work, am I going to go, you know, even though they're like, oh, we're making changes. No, I need to see it.
Yeah.
So
you want to walk in and be there.
Yes, exactly. So that would have been, I guess, like my first piece there. What we offer our clients coming in is everything is done custom. So we have nail art. We have, like you said, like our nurse that comes in, we have, facials just starting. Anything we do for hair, it's all done with the client and the client's needs in mind. And like I was saying, like, okay, there's a pain point here. My guest comes in, I don't like this about the way, I feel. And normally it's not about the way you look, it's the way you feel. So my yeah. client feels this way. So our whole goal when you come into this building is how can I make you feel more confident? How can I make you feel like you? So I'm not trying to change the way you look. I'm not trying to, you know, it's not about faking anything. It's about mm-hmm. how can we make you feel confident when you leave right. this building? So, I mean, I feel like it's that way across the board. How can I make my staff feel confident in who they are and what they offer? How do I make my guests feel confident so they can go out and, you know, snag that date with that guy they've been eyeing up at work, get that promotion, you know, whatever, yeah. that they have that confidence to go in and this is what I wanted in my life and I'm going to go take it.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. And you just said that with so much like confidence yourself. And I've truly seen such a confidence boost in you, even over the last like, since you even got this space, I mean, you just show up like you own the place because you do. Like, it's your space now. And I mean, it's incredible. Like, could you imagine 10 years ago, Dana, when I first, or plus 10 plus years ago when I met you, and one, you said to me where I'd be, but I said to you, hey, Dana, in 10 years, you are going to own $1 million salon.
No.
But what would you have said to me? Are you fucking kidding me?
I can't even fathom that number. I think it comes back to when, you know, when we first started talking, you know, I left a relationship with, I had $20 that I'd hidden in my sock drawer. I left with my kids and whatever I could fit in my van. I moved into my brother's basement. You know, because it was, I couldn't even have gone to get, an apartment. Nobody would have even, you know, and so from single parent on social assistance with no confidence, I mean, I had no confidence. If you believed at that time that I had it, it was all fake. Like I knew how to talk a big game, maybe, to some people, but, from when we met, it was a really broken young woman who, you know, had no vision for her life. And it was, I think that, like, how do I pick myself up from this? And then now how do I create an environment where I can go find that broken person that I was and build them into something amazing? So I guess that's where it comes from, I guess, is just coming from the very bottom and pulling yourself out of that and knowing that, I mean, anybody can do it, because there's no reason that I was able to do it besides just I found people to help me get there, and I was willing to keep falling on my face until I had it figured out. So, you know, I don't come from a place where it's like, oh, I had business training and I saw it modeled and this and that. You can be anybody who has a vision and be just the gumption to do it. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I just used the word gumption. Let's start.
How old am I?
We're not editing that out.
If you've got to get up and go to put the energy, put the effort in, know that there's going to be hard days. There's no reason that you can't build an empire. So that's what I'm doing. I'm building my empire.
Oh, I love that. And what a great way to end your story. Well, no, it's not ending your story, ending this conversation, because I promise you guys in a year or two, we'll have Dana back. And I just can't wait to hear what is next or what you accomplish next, or if you have another location with what you have now. And so I just want to end today's show with one final question, just one little question. Do you have any plans or goals for the next 1 to 5 years? Like, what's next? What's next for Dana and what's next for Flaunt Salon?
What's next is expanding and growing out our move that we just made. So creating the culture and the success that we've had with the hair and like our main floor. So it's now building that into the upper level, which is our aesthetics. So building the same model that got us here, I want that same model being used on both levels. So it's growing out a new team and new services and figuring out what that looks like. Right now, my next couple years will be working on our systems and processes so that we have a more clear process about when we, you know, our onboarding. When we bring somebody in, this is how they are trained. It's done the same for everybody so that we can start building more consistent everything. It's also creating this space to be like, if I phase out of this space, do I have a sellable business and model? So that I'm protecting my, you know, this asset needs to be protected. You've taught me that, Danielle. The goal is always the asset. Every decision I make, how does that impact the asset? So at this point, I'm like, I need to make sure that this business is something when I'm removed from it so that I have a sellable something at the end of it. If I choose to ever walk away or, you know, like, you know, as you heard from my word gumption, I'm getting older and it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to stand behind a chair. How do I create a business model that, that can continue to grow? So I'm learning the business side of it. And I'm realizing as I learn more, how much I don't know. So that's what I'm working on for the next couple of years.
absolutely.
Surprises will come up along the way.
So. Oh, okay. Well, I don't even know about these surprises, and I feel like I'm usually one of the first few to know. So I'm excited for our phone calls after to chat about those surprises. But I am so, so, so proud of you. I always tell you this, but our listeners can hear about it too. So proud of you. I love your story. I absolutely love what you've done for not only yourself or your team, but just also everything that you've accomplished this whole time, this whole journey. So I'm going to have your information and the salon's information in the show notes. So that will, you guys can follow Dana on Instagram. You can check out the salon and what she's doing. It's Flaunt Salon, if anybody's wondering. But again, I'll have that in the show notes and we'll have a little bit about Dana there too. You can reach out to Dana. One, if you want your hair done, I promise you it'll be the best hair you've ever had in your life. Like I said, she's tolerated my crazy, annoying hair for over 10 years and it always looks incredible. But she's also there to answer your questions. If you're new in the industry and you need an incredible, powerful, passionate mentor and leader, I encourage you to reach out to Dana. To potentially join her salon and or just ask for her advice on what you should be looking for when you're looking for a salon, because Dana truly knows. You heard her story. Dana, thank you so much. I absolutely love you. And thanks for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom and your story with all of our listeners.
What an honor, Danielle. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I couldn't be more grateful.
Oh, you're so welcome. Anytime. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening to the show today. This is one of many episodes in our guest series. Stay tuned for the other guests that are coming on. But thanks for listening to Dana's story. Thanks for coming on, Dana, and have a good one, everyone.